Welcome to Letters to the Editor, the podcast where we play you letters left by voicemail to the San Diego Reader, a weekly alternative newspaper in San Diego, California. The only edits that have been made to these clips are to remove personal information. My name is Andy. Please enjoy.
Oh, hi. I'd like to call in a letter about a neighborhood news item published in the March 13 edition of the Reader. It was titled, I Managed to Escape the Claws of the Tijuana Police. This apparently is yet another news item depicting Tijuana as Dodge City. The fellow that wrote the article talks about walking around in baggy clothes, swinging a bottle of whiskey, and he wonders why he was harassed by the police. There's plenty of Americans living in Tijuana, Mexico, Rosarito, Playas, Tijuana, many of whom have never had any problem with the police at all. He ends the letter by saying there's plenty of stories of people who've been harassed by the police. Well, if you wander in the streets dressed like a cholo, swinging a bottle of whiskey, what can you possibly expect? Thank you very much.
Yes, concerning the March 27th Reader, page 2, under news ticker, or City Lights news ticker, the item inside story of San Diego Opera's demise, whatever the hell. There's a graph there. It's the hardest to read thing in the world that I've seen in a long time. And as an engineer for many, many years, part of my job, I made a lot of graphs every day. And this one, I don't think, would have made the grade. But the title of the graph, I had to read it with a very strong magnifying glass. It's all blurred and double printed and everything. It's total tickets sold. And the ordinate goes from 25,000 up to 43,000. Right there, that's a violation of good practice. You're skipping the label numbers are odd numbers, and you're skipping 2,000 from one number to the next. It would have been better to use the even numbers, start with 24,000 and go up to 42,000, or start with 26,000 and go up to 44,000, and it seems to show the decline of ticket sales from 2010, the year 2010, through the year 2014. Evidently, my strong magnifying glass says that 41,353 tickets were sold in the year 2000. Did I say 2000? Yeah, 2010, sorry. Sorry about that. It's very hard to see. Crappy graph. And it's declined to a yearly sale of 31,500 in the year 2014, estimated, it says here. So that's my comment. It's a pretty shitty graph, and you could have done a better job labeling the thing, and also a better job with the ordinance there. Very hard to read, very hard to understand. I'm assuming it's probably tickets sold in the San Francisco Opera. I don't know. Doesn't say. Okay. You could have made that thing... Well, you would not even have had to make the graph bigger. You could have just labeled it more clearly, starting with a title that people could read, not something double printed or whatever, blurred and double printed. And you could have had the ordinate labeled a lot better. So I'm not even sure I'm reading the thing right now, even with the magnifying glass. Let's see this again. Yeah, I don't know what the hell I'm looking at here. It seems to go from 25,000 up to 43,000, but it's so blurred and double printed there that I really can't tell. So it seems to show that ticket sales declined from what the hell? I see now I can't even read it with a magnifying glass from 40-something thousand-something in the year 2011 all the way down to, what the heck, 31,500 possibly in the year 2014. But it's pretty crappy printing there. I would suggest next time use bigger numbers, and you could just, instead of going 25,000, 27,000, 29,000, all the way up to 43,000, you might have gone maybe 25,000, 30,000, 35,000, 40,000, 45,000, bigger numbers, and just label the ends of the curve the way you do now, only do a better job. Anyway, as I say, I made...
My name is Lee. I have had letters published in the past, and you've been very gracious to do so, word for word, which is nice. Except today, I'm probably not really needing a letter published so much as I would like to thank Ken Layton. I have been waiting since January 1st of 2013, when Anthology closed, to get some updated and correct information on the takeover and reopening of that venue, which I've probably been to over 30 times since 2009. And just my luck that the week I'd go skiing in Telluride, Colorado, is the week that Ken Layton decided to publish that letter. And I asked somebody to save the reader for me, and they didn't. So whoever issued a clarification in this week's reader did me a big favor. Because it says, regarding Blurt backdoor deal February 20th, received a letter on March 19th from Mr. Berkson's law firm, blah, 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 blah. That alerted me to the backdoor deal. And then I want to thank your website people, because I just went to the website, I typed in backdoor deal, I didn't even have to use the date, and now it looks like this outfit from Best Beverage and Catering is going to take it over. And so, if you could get a message to Ken just thanking him for that news, and to encourage him or anybody else in your paper to keep the public informed, because it is an incredibly fabulous venue. And now that I've just looked at the new Humphrey schedule for the week, I'm so disappointed. I mean, for the month, for the summer, I'm so disappointed in what Humphrey's is not producing. And the fair has been talking about a... they're calling it a return of the British invasion. And yet there's not a single live British band playing at the fair this summer. They're all local American, you know, cover bands. So that's a huge disappointment. Anthology is the only bright light on the horizon. And I went to over 40 concerts, well, over 30 concerts last year, 40 the year before. And I go to Cerritos, 80 miles to the north. I'll be going next Saturday. I go there at least a half dozen times a year, so we are really hurting down here for music. Anthology coming back is the greatest news I've had in years, and thank Ken Layton again for me. I mean, if you want to do some major editing, you know, and just maybe take a sentence or two out of that thanking Ken, you have my permission to edit and shrink, condense, and take out all of the blah blah that I threw in there. But I just wanted to get my point across to him for doing that public service. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you have a good day. Bye-bye. By the way, it's Sunday at 3:39 p.m. Bye.
You have a feature in one page of the reader which is titled Sheep and Goats. There will be a story often about some local church at the top of the page, and then at the bottom of the page there will be advertisements for various local churches. But every other week recently, instead of a story about a local church, there will be a story about an English Catholic who was either persecuted or martyred in the 16th or 17th century. Some of them were made saints later, some were not, but they all suffered for their faith. And for some reason, you don't show that in the contents in the front of the reader. In other words, when it's about a local church, you'll have it in the table of contents under religion, page 48 or whatever. But when it's about an English Catholic that suffered for his or her faith, you will not have it in the table of contents for some reason. And I can refer specifically to March 27, March 13, February 27, and February 13. You had some very interesting things about English Catholics that suffered for their faith in the 16th or 17th centuries, and I had to look all through the reader to find it, because it was not in the table of they were not in the table of contents. Whereas if it's about a local church, you do put it in the table of contents. You have it listed in the contents as religion, page so and so. But when it's for some reason, when it's about an English Catholic that suffered for his faith or her faith, I cannot find it in the table of contents. I have to look through the reader for it. And it's the same thing. Sheep. It's the same title, Sheep and Goats, and it has the church advertisements at the bottom of the page. So for some reason, I wish you'd put that also in the table of contents so I could find the thing. And it's an interesting feature. I like it. I mean, some of these saints I already knew about, and one or two of them I had not heard of before. And then I, after seeing something about him or her in the reader, then I looked him or her up in, you know, different Catholic history books I have, or different books of saints' lives. So anyway, I'm just asking, please put them in the contents too. So when you have something about an English Catholic from the 16th or 17th century, who might have been one of my ancestors, or related to one of my ancestors, for all I know, please don't leave it out of the table of contents. Okay, that's all I called about. It's interesting. Keep putting them in there.
Thank you very much for listening. Please do like us on Facebook at SD Reader and at Twitter at the same handle. If you'd like to leave a letter of your own, just dial 619-235-3000 and follow the prompts. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.